Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
Well, we continue our December sermon series simply titled Hope, Christmas at Marlton. But wasn't that amazing singing and ministry by the Bass and Ely family? That's wonderful. So they're going to sing again on Christmas Eve, but when you actually come through the doors of the church on Christmas Eve, each one of the services, they're going to be singing Christmas carols in the lobby. There's going to be hot chocolate, and there's going to be some top-level talent on Christmas Eve. 1 hour Christmas Eve candlelight service you don't want to miss. Pick one of those services, invite somebody to be a part of that. So my daughter is home from college. We have a freshman at Evangel University, Abigail, and so she goes, Dad, I can't wait to hear you preach. So she made me feel good, or I'm thinking she's manipulating it because she wants some more Christmas gifts. So I'm not really sure, but we're delighted. Her Abigail in the Bible means a father's joy. You know, she married David, King David in the Bible. So we're delighted. She doesn't even know there's an AM. She sleeps right to 12 o'clock as a college student, but we're delighted to have some family joy in our home. So we're glad that Abby's home, we're glad that college students are home. Over the last 2 weeks now, we've been preaching messages. Here's the review. We talked about hope in the darkness. Last week, we talked about hope in the valley. And this morning, I talked about hope for the troubled heart. Billy Graham said this. He said this, in my travels over the decades, I have found that people are the same the world over. In recent years, I find that there is an increasing problem that I should sum up in the word hopeless. It may be because we get news of troubles, problems, disasters, wars, etc., instantaneously in comparison to years ago when it might have taken weeks, months, or even years to hear of an event. But there's something else even more insidious. People in the most affluent societies are feeling the sense of despair and hopelessness. We live in suburban America, middle to upper class. We live in America, the wealthiest country potentially in the world, maybe Dubai or whatever. But people have this sense of hopelessness, whether you live in the inner city maybe of America or you live in a nice area like Marlton, New Jersey. If you remember last week, I talked about Pastor Jamel Mayo and how he's helping the homeless. You know that in our country that if it's below 16 degrees, legally, you have to help people. And so Pastor Jamel says that's way too cold, 32 below. And by the way, isn't it some crazy weather with 60 degrees out there? Who knows what's going on? I don't know. All I know is Al Gore is not right. I don't believe in climate control either. Anyway, but he started what's called the Warming Hope Station. And I wanted to show you those three pictures from last week. They did a little dedication up on their third floor. Really beautiful. It's just temporary stopgap. And so this is their first night. You can see just full of people, and there's the hope, there's warmth, they have showers installed, warm meals. There's people in our congregation say, how can I get involved? If you want to serve, they have different shifts. We'll get you the address and get you in touch with the right people. Or if you want to donate financially, or there's a nice lady in the congregation that had some toothbrushes and some supplies for people. But, you know, people need hope in every area of their lives. You know, sometimes you might hear of a story that's just heartwarming, that just kind of lifts the human spirit. I want to show you a quick video of one of those heartwarming stories. Let's watch this together.
And he's wearing the number 22, guys.
It is Jack Hoffman of Team Jack coming out of the field right now in this fourth down and short.
For the red team,
Jack Hoffman has been adopted really by this football team. A young man who has battled brain cancer is on the field right now for the Huskers.
One more snap for Taylor Martinez, too, who will hand it off to Jack.
Taylor Martinez, really quarterback.
So Taylor gets the shotgun set, gives it to Jack. Here he goes. Got blockers out in front.
There he goes.
He's running to midfield. Listen to this crowd as Jack Hoffman, the young man.
Go, Jack.
that, as I mentioned, has really been adopted by this football team, just scored a touchdown.
Oh, wow. What a moment.
And both benches empty.
Isn't it a heartwarming story? Right in time for Christmas, right? Get some eggnog, you're ready to go. And you just maybe start looking at things a little different. Like, you know, maybe the world's not that bad and people are really good and all this stuff. And then as soon as you start thinking that, the world crushes you. I want to show you the next video. And there's some humor in this, by the way. But watch this. As soon as you start feeling good about humanity, you go crashing down. Watch this one.
Wearing number one for the Los Angeles traffic today is 9-year-old Tommy Douglas. Tommy has lived most of his life in the hospital after being born with a potato for a heart and will undergo a heart transplant surgery next weekend. He's about as big of a traffic fan as they come, so in partnership with the Grant a Wish Foundation, both teams have agreed to come together and have Tommy run the first play of the game. And he got the handoff, and there he goes. Made a little cutback move, and it looks like he's gonna go all the way. Look at him go. Wow. This is really one of those heartwarming moments in sports where you just... Oh!
I almost have to apologize for that one. I told you there's some humor in that. You didn't hear it, that the guy had a potato for a heart? You didn't hear that? But just when you started believing in humanity, the goodness, you come crashing down. Boy, the 9 o'clock service, I don't think they ever got over that one. They're just praising the Lord for his goodness, and then boom. But I want to talk to you today about hope for the troubled heart. Are we ready to move on? Just let me know when you're ready. Hope for the troubled heart. I want to bring us to the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah, who wished he had never been born, who wished he was aborted. You say, how do you know that? Well, in Jeremiah chapter 20, talks about his birth and the thing that he was going through in his life. He said this, "Cursed be the day I was born. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. Cursed is the man who brought my father the news, who made him very glad, saying, 'A child is born to you, a son.'" In a Jewish home, to have a son was of great honor, to move forward and to have a lineage with your last name. But he said, "Cursed is the day I was born. I don't feel like living anymore. What does it mean, or what's the purpose in all of this?" If you remember Jeremiah, he was a great preacher, the weeping prophet, if you will. But in Jeremiah 20, verse 1 through 2, talks about his state. When the priest Pashur, son of Immer, the official in charge of the temple of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things, he had Jeremiah the prophet beaten, and by the way, that's 40 lashes, and put in stocks at the upper gate of Benjamin at the Lord's table, or the Lord's temple. I have a picture of what we think it would look like. Jeremiah, his body doubled over, and he was in stocks. You say, why? What did he do wrong? Did he sin? No, actually, he was a prophet of God who was declaring the news because God's people would not turn back to him. You know, today they're saying that we actually live now in what's called a post-truth era. So it doesn't matter what you say as long as you're the first person to say it. So the news organizations, you don't know if they're telling you the truth or not. They're not even fact-checking. They're just kind of getting it out. I heard a quote, "The farther a society drifts from the truth, it will hate those who tell the truth." So if you want to live in truth, in a culture that we live in, people now start hating you because you actually side with truth. People are bent on what they want to do. And so we live in a very troubling day, so love has to accompany what we say. But for Jeremiah, he didn't want to live anymore. He didn't want to be born. He had no hope in his heart. You might ask yourself these questions, "Lord, why was I born? Or where are you, God, right now? I'm in this dark tunnel and I don't have a light. If there is a light, it's a train coming right at me. I've kissed my loved one who's now passed away for the last time this year. The visions and dreams I've had are now gone to smoke. Why do these things happen to me? you might ask. But then in a moment, God may speak to you. Then in a moment, there might be an injection of hope into your heart. And you've come here, you're here this Christmas season, we're believing God on Christmas Eve, and that there'll be hope that pushes into your heart. And this happened to Jeremiah, where he's cursing the day he's dying. He doesn't want to live. He's mad that things have happened the way they have. But then God speaks to him and breathes life and hope into his heart. Jeremiah 20, verse 9 says it like this. But if I say I will not remain, mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire. A fire shot up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Something happened in the Spirit of God that touched his heart and encouraged his life. And I pray that God would just, by his Holy Spirit, would give you encouragement and life and hope and truth during this Christmas season. He goes on to say, he actually begins to praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. God comes and gives life and hope. Now, this word hope is flying all around us, even as we speak. I don't know if you heard the interview with Oprah and with Michelle Obama the last couple of days. You could watch the whole thing on social media. But Michelle Obama said this to Oprah, "We feel the difference now," I quote, "now we feel like what not having hope feels like with the election of Donald Trump. What do you do if you don't have hope, Oprah? People do need hope. It's medicine for the soul. Barack Obama won the election on hope and change, and people are so frustrated with how things are. The pendulum kind of swung back to Donald Trump, and people are angry, and he kind of just proposed make America great again. People are looking for hope somewhere. But I think it's ill-advised to look for hope in government. The message I preach to you has nothing to do with government. It is from God himself into your heart that revitalizes the spirit and shoots fire up in your bones, and you just kind of start praising the Lord again. Say, Lord, you're my heavenly Father. I praise you, for you are a good God. And I can't promise you what will happen in the political realm. I can't promise you what will happen at your workplace. But what I can promise you is that God is good, and he's faithful, and he is the giver of hope. In the Bible story, it was Mary who heard the words that she was going to be pregnant as a young teenager, maybe 15, 16, or 17, and she was troubled. This is what the story is. It talks about in Luke chapter 1. Great Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. She was troubled. She had trouble in her heart. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid. I have a word for you, Mary. I'm going to show you. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Now, here's a great question. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? Have you ever thought about Joseph? Mary, you have questions. Well, I have questions too. I'm troubled. I'm distraught. Mary, what did you do? Did someone take advantage of you? Did someone touch you? Were you unfaithful? Because in biblical times, when you were engaged, that was just as good as being married. You needed a certificate of divorce. The only thing left to do was to consummate the marriage. So obviously, he's looking forward. They're looking forward to starting a family together, to moving forward together. But there was questions. But what does God do? He says, "Hey, don't be afraid. I'm going to give you hope. There's going to be a great future for your family, for your kids, for your child. Great things are going to take place. And I want to tell everybody in the room, there is great hope for you and your family and your children. I want to show you some pictures, because let me just explain. You know, we don't just run church services here. But last Sunday, we had two morning services. Then we had a great small group Christmas party. What a wonderful event that was. Camaraderie together. Then we had church on Wednesday night. Then we had our preschool concert on Thursday night, and our elementary concert on Friday night. Then we have church these 2 days. We have a staff Christmas party at my house, all the preschool teachers, all women coming over to my house tomorrow. Please pray for me. Let's just take time right now. Thank you, Lord. I believe you'll be there. Lord, let the weather be so bad they can't come over. Okay, so we just prayed right there. So they're all coming over our house. We don't have church on Wednesday. We have church. We have a Christmas Eve on Friday, two on Saturday, then we have one on Sunday, and then we're going to breathe. You say, why do you go through all that? Why do you do that? Why do you share this message of hope? Well, let me just show you a couple pictures from Thursday night. We had approximately 100, 150 preschoolers on the platform. You see them on the down low too? You couldn't even get them all up there. Go ahead, next one. Look at that. In this sanctuary. Show the back row too. Standing room only. That's why we talk about blowing out the sanctuary. You say, why? So more people can hear the message of hope. You know what people care about in Marlton, New Jersey area? Their kids. You could put a pastor up here. You could put the best preacher in the whole world. And they're, yeah, it's good, pastor. Put their kids up there. They're knocking down people. They got the cameras out. They're cursing out people. I'm not lying. All the staff's like, yep, you should have seen it. I sometimes tell the staff this, and this is, I came from Newark. People are people everywhere, and good people are good people. That's what I say. But it's different. Newark and Marlton's different. I say, listen, people generally around here don't stand in line for anything, right? They don't stand in line. If the bank is kind of busy, they just go to another bank teller. There's no lines. I just tell people, listen, what people generally need is a seat and a parking spot. Duh, duh, duh. But I was wrong on Thursday night. My wife kind of ran the night. She does really well. She has rules. You can't be in the aisle way, clear out, be on best behavior. She makes everyone sit down. But there's a rule. You cannot get into the building until 6:40. The program starts at 7. Do you know, you remember on Thursday night, it was 12 degrees outside. We had people lined up around the building in 12 degrees for 1 hour before the program. And I'm looking at this. I'm telling you right now, Marlton Assembly of God, people, we are sitting on a gold mine of an opportunity to reach this place for Jesus Christ. And people are funny. People talk. You can put your hands together. That's wonderful. I'm telling you, parents were sitting there hearing the hope of the gospel through their children. They thought they were so cute. They're waving to their kids. But what they don't realize is that God is doing something through their children to touch their hearts and lives. Those kids, listen, stop clapping. I'm just joking. Those kids, for the rest of their lives, they're going to remember those songs. I was in the back row, and the maintenance guys, right, the janitorial staff, all the maintenance guys, they're all singing the songs too. I'm like, how do you guys know? Hey, you hang around here long enough, you just start hearing it. It just kind of sticks into your bones. I'm telling you, our kids, the people in this community, it's a huge outreach. You say, why? Why do you go at it? Why do you have energy? Why did you get a $29.99 shirt from Joseph A. Bank? It's pretty nice, right? Joseph A. Bank, men, run there quick. It ends at 6 o'clock tonight. Why do that? Because people need hope. I see it all over people. I look at people. They're all hustling and bustling. Their minds are this. They're concerned with the parents and all. It's a really simple solution. What will settle the soul, what will bless the mankind, it deep in the heart, is not what's on the inside. It's the Spirit of the living God that will come and revitalize the soul like Jeremiah and put fire up in your body. I want to tell you, if you're down, you're discouraged, I want to tell you God wants to breathe hope over you. If you have little kids running around, God has a great future for them. He wants to build hope over them. If you're struggling with your marriage today, you might hate the person you married. It might have been 7 years and you have the 7-year itch. You might not like them anymore. You say, why did I marry them? It doesn't look like to be a future. God says, I see a future over your marriage. I can teach you to learn to love again. It's written in the stars. It's written in the scars of our hearts. You want to talk a song I'm singing? I messed that song up, right? What's the song? You can learn to love again. It's in the stars. It's been written in the scars of our hearts. I love that song. When I'm by myself, I just turn that up way up. You say, can God bring us back together again? The answer is absolutely yes. He's going to breathe hope over you. He's going to come on you in the power of the Holy Spirit to breathe grace and trust and blessings on your life. And that's why we printed these tickets. Pastor Mike said, you know what I've been doing? I've been making these tickets extra special. We have some extra ones right here. So what I usually do, I give people two. I'm kind of like this. Got some tickets here. Got some tickets. VIP tickets. They're like, VIP? I said, you know what that means? I said, it means absolutely nothing. But for you, VIP. I say, orchestra pit. For Christmas Eve. And then backstage. We don't have a backstage. It doesn't matter. The main thing The main thing is you just get people here. How will people know unless they hear the message of hope? I want to encourage you, invite somebody. Bring people with you. Don't just come along. You heard the message. God bless you. You're on your way to heaven. But you say, well, what does hope do inside of somebody's life? How does it feel? How does it emotionally feel? How does it touch you? So last Saturday night, Nelda Doerr, who usually sits, Jane, are you sitting in her seat? Okay, Jane, can you stand up? I cannot believe you're sitting in Nelda's. Can you just, yeah, stand in. 1 week later, come on, stand up. I just want everyone to see where you are. Jane, sitting in Nelda. Nelda, I've been here for 9 years. Let's give Jane a hand clap, Jane. That was the best stand I've seen all day. So Nelda, at least, she's probably been sitting there for 15 years, same spot. Nelda, last Saturday night at 10 o'clock, went home to be with the Lord. I didn't know it in church. I couldn't say it. So we had her funeral on Wednesday. It was a beautiful funeral, very God-honoring. Her family was respected. But Tuesday, last Tuesday, before she passed away, Pastor Sean and I, we went to visit her in her home. They had released her to hospice, and she was resting comfortably on a nice white couch in her living room with a white blanket. You say, what does hope do? What does hope do? It brings reassurance to your faith. And so we walked in there, and she was failing, and she had some questions. And Pastor Sean and I, we did our best to try to bring that. But something happened in that room. Let me try to explain it the best I can. She's sitting on the couch, and so I went and kind of just sat right next to her, like with my legs facing this way, and her body was going this way, and I just kind of held her hand like I would my mother or my grandmother. And we were just talking about the future, to be absent from the body, present with the Lord, you know. And she needed that assurance. She actually asked one question to Pastor Sean and I that I tried to answer the very best of my ability, but she was looking for assurance in her life. This is a very vulnerable time. I actually thought that she was going to pass away right there. I've never been in a room when someone's died right there. I haven't been there. But the way it seemed like she was ready to go. But then the doorbell rang. It's like the weirdest, this never happened to me. I don't know if it's ever happened to you, Pastor. It never happened. But the doorbell rang, and it was a delivery from Marlton Assembly of God. Now, I'm starting to say to myself, did we order something for her? I don't know all the details that happened in the ministry like this, but somebody ordered flowers, a big poinsettia, it's big, from Marlton Assembly of God. At the same time, I'm sitting there with Nelda Doerr, I'm holding her hand, I thought she's going up to heaven at the moment. And it brought such great assurance into our hearts. It was almost like the Lord was there. It's almost like the Lord saying, listen, Nelda, you've been faithful. You've loved the Lord. You sang about Jesus. She used to love the song, it's beginning to rain, rain. Hear the voice of the Father. And she was going to see the Father. And I was sharing the gospel with her sons and her family. There's other people. We're sharing the good. And all of a sudden, there's like this great assurance that even though it was a plant, it just brought us, man, God's with us. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Sometimes your spirit man, your soul man, will go down to the pits. You're like a one or two. But then all of a sudden, God will give you a word. Something will happen, an encouragement, a phone call, a conversation, a tweet, something happens, and all of a sudden, you know what I'm talking about, right? A tweet. What do you call those? A tweet. You get something, and it blesses you. My kids are like, oh, Dad. I want to tell you what hope does for the individual. It brings encouragement and reassurance that you belong to God. And God wants to breathe hope and encouragement deep into your heart that you are a child of the living God, that you are on your way to heaven, that the Spirit of God lives inside of you, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you have all the promises of God, and God breathes that deep assurance into your heart, and hope comes into you, and you'll feel it, and you'll sense it deep in your heart. This is what happened with Mary, Luke chapter 1, verse 46. This is what happened after God clarified it and helped her understand. She said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all the generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. So listen, if you're going to follow God, at some point you're going to have to trust him and then start obeying him. I'm sure Mary had people, like girlfriends with her said, I don't believe you. So not everyone always gets excited about you serving God. At some point, you have to take God at his word. Let that fire shoot up in your bones. Let that hope and move forward and obey the Lord and walk by faith and see what God's going to do. And when you do, this great assurance takes place in your heart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Can I prove it to you? No. I can't prove it to you. God said I should not walk by sight, but I must walk by faith. And God will put this into our hearts, this deep assurance. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Hope brings reassurance. Secondly, hope brings perspective and it's realized. You say, what do you mean? I think what happens is when you draw close to God in dark days of your life for the troubled hearts, God sometimes helps you put things in perspective. There's been some things, I want to be very gentle how I explain this, but some things happen to our lives that bother us. And especially men, we're fixers, so we want to fix things. There's been a couple things, not about the church, not about my wife, there's been a couple things that have been bothering me, and I couldn't fix them. I didn't have hope for the situation. I couldn't get out of it. I was like, Lord, I was starting to get mad. Like, God, where are you? What's happening? I was just kind of frustrated, and I didn't like it. It was someone who I loved, and I felt like they were being disrespected. And I couldn't do anything about the situation. And I felt like the Lord, I was just in the diner on 24/7, diner in Voorhees. That's my new spot in the corner. I just felt like the Lord said, John, you have to trust me for my perspective. Instead of trying to figure out all the details of the moment, I see the big picture, and I want you to start praying like this. Seek first the kingdom of God. See if I can use this situation to glorify my name. But I'm like, God, I got to get this all right. We had to help me. And God said, listen, you're just trying to live in the moment. When hope arises, he takes you out of the moment, and he helps you to see a big picture. Moms and dads, especially as it relates to your child, sometimes you're living in the moment. It's not about the moment. God sees something bigger for your kids. He wants them to get married to the right people. He wants you to have great grandchildren. He wants them to do great things for God. And if you get caught up in the moment, boy, it will distract you. And God says, listen, I want to give you hope in your heart for eternal perspective. Everybody in this room, I just want to remind you, the chairs that you're sitting in, one day they won't even be chairs. This room, these beautiful lights, all this stuff, it's all perspective. It's all going to be gone one day. Jesus Christ is going to come back, and we're going to be with him forever and ever. That cancer that's up in your body, one day it won't be there. It's a matter of perspective. So if things aren't going your way today, at some point you just got to put your hands in the air and say, you know what, I don't understand it, but I'm going to trust God. Mary, I don't understand it. I don't understand why God would choose this way, and I'm not sure everyone's going to go with me. And Joseph's like, I'm not sure of all the details, but God said it, and I'm going to trust it and move forward in Jesus' name. It's just a matter of perspective. And that's why the great, great hymn of the church, Blessed Assurance, it goes like this, the third verse, perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. All of a sudden, you get out of yourself and you begin to start thinking about God's goodness and what he's going to do and the glory of God. If not, you'll be a selfish American that misses out on the kingdom of God. I tell people all this time this. God is not American. God is not American. You know that, right? And he loves you as much as he loves Putin. And God loves you as much as he loved Hitler. God is not a respecter of people. He's not locked into the passport of America. God is God. And if we had the perspective that God's got this thing all under control, listen, at some point you just got to trust him. He's got this. He's got you. Trust him. Believe him. He's got your children. He's got your marriage. He's got your future. Believe that God, and that will bring a hope and a perspective. God's got the whole thing worked out. Sometimes as a guy, I want to fix it. I want to make sure it all happens. I want God's blessing. I want God's best. I want to live at the highest level. And then sometimes it just doesn't happen for me. And God says, will you just trust me? Just keep walking by faith. Just believe me. I got your business under control. Yeah, but God, we need this many sales of every month. We got this. And sometimes it dips down. Well, you know what? God's maybe teaching you something. And maybe next month it's going to go high. I've just learned this. That sometimes you have lows and sometimes you have highs, but God's faithful through it all. And there is hope for the troubled heart. And if you'll bring, like if you'll come to the altar, you'll say, God, I need you. God will do miracles. Sometimes the miracle is just to change your perspective. Sometimes it's not good to go through that divorce. You say, well, I don't love him anymore. Well, just learn to love him. You say, well, I don't want to learn to love him. But maybe you need to learn to love him. Maybe he needs loving. So I don't love her anymore. Well, maybe God says, stay in it. There's no infidelity. You're just falling out of love. Don't be a celebrity. You don't need to keep falling out of love. Just learn. It's a lot of hard work sometimes to do the right thing. Well, John, everybody, all my friends curse. Well, it's not a big deal to curse. Yeah, but God's trying to teach you holiness. So you're just going to learn not to curse. Mom's not here. Dad's not here. Pastor John's not here. Doesn't matter. God's just learning and teaching you. He's just helping you grow, and he's going to infuse hope and encouragement to be the best that you possibly be in Christ Jesus. So some people, you're down here today. You're a one or a two, and God wants to lift you. He wants to lift you and give you hope. Jeremiah cursed the day he died. Ministry wasn't going the way he wanted to go. He's being shackled. He's being whipped. At some point, God, just take this burden from me. And God says, I'm going to give you a new way. So I prophesy over you today. I have hope for you that God's going to lift you. I have hope for your children, and God's going to do great things for your family. Through your children, moms and dads, I have three daughters, I believe that their life and their ministry is going to be greater than mine. Everyone in this room, your children are going to do greater things for God than for you. Your marriage, I believe there's hope over your marriage. I believe there's hope over this church. I believe this church is going to touch the nation. I believe revival is going to come. Hope is going to be infused into us. And you, the church people, are going to go out and share the message of Jesus Christ with great boldness, with great spirit. I believe there's hope for America. I believe it. I believe in the hope of Jesus Christ and the church being strengthened. I do not trust Donald Trump one bit. And I do not trust Barack Obama. I think Barack Obama got himself in trouble when he lit up the White House in homosexual colors. I think something happened in the spirit realm in America. And for the last year or two, he's been promoting the transvestite, the idea of having this bathroom, and we lost track. America's gone so far off track. Even Donald Trump, you think he's ego and he's arrogant, he hates people, he's a race. All that stuff. My hope is not in those guys. My hope is in the Lord. I want to tell you, the hope of America is through the church of Jesus Christ. Pastor Andy, I have great hope for your young people. Not for today. Not for today alone. But they're going to graduate and remember everything you said. Brandon, your encouragement, your strength, your prayer, your discipleship, that one-on-one, all that is not just to throw away. It's for the kingdom of God. Steve, you're on the rise. I just believe it. I believe what you're doing for them will make a great impact for the kingdom of God. I believe our young people, they're going to look back and say, I was just a crazy 15-year-old, run the turf, and whatever. But I'm going to do my own youth group one day. I'm going to pastor my own church. I have hope. They're going to marry really great people. I have three girls. I'm raising them to be the best wives and to cover over a knucklehead boy that they marry and to be a great family. That's what a wife does, right? Oh, man. A man left to himself gets himself in trouble. A good wife will say, hey, before we do that, can we talk? That's life. Yeah, the man is supposed to be the leader. But the wife is supposed to be a helpmate, and they go through life together. Husbands, listen to your wives. Once in a while, they have something good to say. I'm just saying, that's true. But listen to me. My wife doesn't just have a sixth sense, which I think sometimes women have a perspective. My wife has a spirit of living God inside of her. In my own ego, my own arrogance, my own pompousness, I want to do what I want to do. But if I will just humble myself and listen and work on it together, we're a lot better of a force than just me being this pompous jerk. And by the way, that's pastor jerk to everyone in this room, all right? You get it, what I'm saying. This is not a day to live with arrogance and pride. It's not to side with the world's ways of lumping people together. We love the homosexual. We love the immoral. We love the sinner. We love the person who's been abused. We love the immigrant. We love the person who's disenfranchised. We love the person who's had an abortion. We believe that every single person could have new life that's found in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. There's hope for a dying world. And so whether you live in the suburbs and I just like the suburbs. I don't have to deal with poor people and I'm comfortable. Or you live close to the city or you're right in the city or anywhere in between. There's hope for this world that's found in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. That's our hope. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:37, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor the angels or demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I have great hope, but I believe this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is present today. Maybe he's with us, like in the book of Revelation, and he's walking amongst the aisles, and the pastors are in his right hand. Or he's over us, protecting us, guiding us, and leading us. But the Lord himself is present. Emmanuel, God with us. We're not alone. He's breathing assurance into our hearts. He's preparing us for a bigger perspective. He's helping us to see how he sees. Most human beings, they live down here at this level. God wants to raise you on new heights. Young people, he wants to lift you to the highest heights to serve him. If you'll give yourself to him, give your heart to him, you say, well, that's going to be a lot different than I planned or imagined because I was going to go to this college and do this and I had this dream. God says, just listen to me, just like Mary. I know you may be fearful, you have concerns, but if you'll give me your life, I can do great things for you. That's the hope that's found in Jesus Christ. Or you can ignore all the hope that we're talking about and just live in the flesh. Just do you. Come back in 10 years and tell me how that went for you. It never works. I've tried it. Probably every adult has gone off track. But there's a good God who brings us back. Isn't that true? He's a good God. Thank him for his goodness and his wonderful grace in our lives. Come on, let's put our hands together. Would you stand with me in the Lord's presence? We have deep hope for our lives. We have deep hope for this community, for our nation, and for the world. For God so loved this world that he gave his one and only Son. This morning, you're here today, and you have personal hopelessness, personal discouragement, personal need in your own life. I shared with you, listen, by the way, Marlton Assembly of God is going really well. We have almost record attendance. Our offerings are better than they've ever been. We just built a new field house. Our staff is coming together. You're a great congregation. I got a new sweater. What could be better? My daughter's home from college. But I know this. There's people in our congregation, in our church, they're struggling with insecurity and brokenness, and they just need encouragement and hope. This past week, there was someone who came to church and said, I'm struggling with suicide. Suicidal thoughts. They know better. I don't know if they're looking for attention or I think sometimes what happens is there's not a way out. There's no hope. Decisions are made. There's no hope. I want to tell you, if you're here today, you hear the sound of my voice, there's hope for you and your family. We've been singing this little song, Oh, Come to the Altar. Give it to the Lord. Trust him. Even if you're broken and hurting and you don't know which way to go and all the details, trust God that he'll show you the big picture when he's ready. You say, why doesn't God show me everything I want to know right now? It's because you're not ready. If he showed you everything, you might even fall away from God. All he knows is if we'll trust him, lean not on our own understanding, he'll take us all the way home. Do you believe that? Listen, yeah, trust God. We got to trust in his hope. We got to trust that God will do what only he can do in our hearts. And also, you need to bring people with you on Christmas Eve. Trust God that God wants to do something in their heart. Go past the lights. Go past the music. Believe God. Say, oh, I'm believing God that God's going to bring hope and encouragement to people all around me.